I don't know how many of you have actually built a sukkah. But if you do, you may know that, as I mentioned at the beginning of the holiday, the legal requirements are two walls and a tefach. A tefach means a hand's breadth. And that's because the rabbis tell us the two walls represent God's two arms and the hand's breadth God's hands. And when you walk into the sukkah, you're in God's embrace. What the pastor said is true. Even the space inside your home feels different from the space outside. If I blindfolded you and walked you into your home, I have a sense you would somehow still know. We do have this idea of sacred space. And one of the things that makes it sacred is that you are safe there. And the idea of the sukkah is to make us deliberately unsafe. The walls have to be temporary. Permanent walls invalidate a sukkah. It is no longer kosher. A permanent roof means it's not a sukkah. It's a building. And so, during this time of year, we deliberately put ourselves in structures that cannot last and make us feel unsafe. And the flimsiest part of it is the roof, where you use schach, which is basically dead branches. Plucked branches that you make into your roof, which means that if it rains, the rain falls through. In places in the world on Sukkot, when it snows, the snow falls through. But in the midst of that impermanence, of course, the remarkable thing about a roof made of schach is, and this is a legal requirement, you have to be able to see the stars. That is, even when you're in something that is temporary and fragile and ephemeral and passes away, you have to see something that is eternal and forever, the heavens. And so you realize that the sukkah is giving you the double message. Now, to whom is that addressed? Do you think that a collective shushing of the child will keep the child quiet? I'm guessing not. Having had some experience with children. But it was a noble thought, and I thank you for it. That's okay. Come back a year or two, we'll talk. But of course, that's the message of Sukkot. The message of Sukkot is that really, compared to things that are eternal, all our homes are temporary. We build this giant structure. We feel like it's forever, but of course it's not. And so what is the legacy that doesn't diminish over the years. The way that we take care of each other. The lessons we have passed on for generations. We are long past, as Greg pointed out, the first home of Sinai Temple, but the ideals of the first founders of Sinai Temple, they endure. Part of the lesson of Sukkot is to remember what is temporary and what is permanent. To remember that memory endures, though people die, that love endures, though children grow, that God endures, though everything that human beings build will pass away. The reason it's called Zman Simchatenu, the time of our joy, is there is a deep peace and a true joy in recognizing that all of our striving and all of our effort is a brief flare of light. And so, we can give up on being perfect. We don't have to be perfect. That job description is already filled, and not by any person. And we can build our imperfect structures and help those who need our help and love those who evoke our love and understand that at this time of year, as in every time of year, it is in fact the embrace, those two walls and a hand's breadth, the embrace of one another, of our community, and of the Kadosh Baruch Hu that sustains us and helps us keep down below as up above the peace that is God's greatest gift. Oseh Shalom.